Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us pray. Father Lord, we want to thank you, we want to glorify your name for a day such as this that we can gather in your presence to glorify your name and to hear from you. Father, I'm just a vessel. I'm asking, Lord, that you might use me to your glory, that your word might be established, that we are going to give you all the glory, the honor, and adoration that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases. His compassion never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is God's faithfulness. Last week, Pastor Chris shared passionately about what the kingdom of God is like according to Christ's response to the Pharisees. Today, I will build on that by talking about the mercies of God. I am sure many of you have listened to some preachers explain what the grace of God means, as well as the mercies of God. I'll be discussing on the mercies of God because the word can show many meanings. You know, sometimes we try to confuse these two words, mercy and grace. Grace is the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessing, while mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Webster's dictionary defines mercy as a price paid for something, wages, reward, or recompense, compassion or forbearance shown to an offender or subject, clemency or kindness extended to someone, instead of strictness or severity. While kindness is an act or instance of being kind, mercy or goodness or kindness is one of the attributes of God. Psalm 33 verse 5 tells us that God is essentially good in himself. Mercy is not just something God does. It is who he is. Exodus 34:6 tells us, the Lord, merciful and gracious. The Lord, merciful and gracious. So this morning, I'm speaking on the topic, the mercies of God. The first point I want to consider is the qualifications or properties of God's mercy. The qualifications or properties of God's mercy. First sub-point there is God's mercy is free. God's mercy is free. God's mercy is free. This we can read from Hosea 14:4. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. Many of us know the story of Hosea, how Hosea was asked to marry a harlot, Gomer. And that was to show how unfaithful the Israelites had been. So he used Hosea as an example to show that God is faithful. Hosea continued to love Gomer, his wife. After she would stray and do so many abominable things, Hosea will accept her back every time she comes back. Israel was doing such things too. They will disobey God and do so many abominable things. And when they come back, God will receive them. Many of us must have done such things as well. But today, I'm here to tell you that God is merciful. And as he received the Israelites back unto himself, he is also going to receive you back, because our God is merciful. And he gives us mercy. And this morning also, we want to know that we are receiving justification free of charge from God. And what is justification? Justification is just as if you have not sinned. God sees you, sees me, as if I have not sinned. That is justification. We are justified, and it's free of charge. That's what God does. He gives it to us free of charge. He sees us as not having sinned. So even when we wallow in sin and come back to God, it's free. He justifies us. And that's why, even in Romans 3:23, we see there that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God did not end there. He went further in verse 24 to tell us that being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. The redemption we receive is in Christ Jesus. It's not in any man. It's not in any woman. We receive that redemption, redeemed from our sins. And I don't know if many of you know that Christ went to the slave market of sin to receive us, to redeem us. In Greek, it's called agariazo. That he went to the slave market of sin to buy us back. We were lost in sin. And he went and purchased us back to himself, to redeem us back to himself. That is what Jesus did. This morning, you are assured of salvation if you have not made peace with Christ. Do not run away anymore. Come to him. He's going to redeem you. Furthermore, salvation is free of charge. It doesn't cost you anything other than your sin. That is what it's going to cost you to become a child of God. Salvation is free. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Do you owe him your sins? He's willing to forgive you. He's willing because he has shed the blood for you and for me. So, he has done it all. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not on the basis of this which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. According to his mercy, that's how he paid it. It's not because of the righteousness I have done or the one you have done that made him to go and die for you. It is because of his mercy that he went to the cross to save you, to save me from all my sins. And I thank God that 47 years ago, Jesus did it for me. I accepted him as my Lord and personal Savior. And I have not remained the same person anymore since then. He can do it for you. If only you will allow him to come into your life this morning. His mercies are abounding. God's mercy is over an overflowing mercy. It overflows. It doesn't have any boundary. And that's why Psalm 145:9 tells us, the Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his work. His mercies are all over his work. It's an overflowing mercy that God has for you and for me. And he went further to tell us in Psalm 86, verse 5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. So what you owe to him is to call upon him. Call upon him and he will answer you. Call upon him. Even in time of trouble, he will answer you. In time of need, you may have need of salvation. Call upon him and he is going to give you salvation. He is in that business of saving people. And know further also that God's mercy is infinite, is plenteous and rich. And that's why the Lord tells us, remember in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, we're told, for by grace you and I have been saved. Is that through works? No. Through faith. So it's a free gift that you receive God's salvation. So God has paid the price for you. Do not limit him anymore. And that's why we're also told in Lamentations, where we read this morning, that God's mercy protects. And that God's mercy is new every morning. God's mercy is new every morning. And it never ceases. So each morning when you get up from bed, be assured that you're receiving a new mercy according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures, God's mercy is new every morning. I don't know if all the things you have in the house that they are new every day. Are they new every day? No. But you receive God's mercy new every day. According to the scriptures, new mercies every day. They are new every morning and they never cease. And they will never cease. God's mercies upon you, upon me, they are new every morning and they will never cease. Such a guarantee is what you and I need, that God's mercy upon us, upon all the bad things we've been doing, God continues to show his mercy upon us. We are damned for hell, but God paid the price through his son, Jesus Christ. Remember, hell was meant for Satan, and Satan doesn't want to be there alone. And that is why he's fighting tooth and nail to bring people to his camp, those who will suffer with him. But also remember that heaven is for the prepared people. It's a prepared place for the prepared people. Hallelujah. Heaven is a prepared place for the prepared people. And remember what Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Yes, heaven is a prepared place for the prepared people. Jesus went to heaven to prepare a place for you, that you will go there with him. I don't know what we told you from going to that prepared place. I'm happy I have three homes, one in America, one in Nigeria, but the best one is in heaven. Hallelujah. Yes. When I remember heaven, oh, I cannot help but to glorify God that I have a mansion in heaven that Jesus has been preparing for me for the past 2,000 years. If for you, it's for you too, if only you believe. Heaven is eternal. Heaven is eternal. How long is eternal? Have you imagined that? Eternal. Eternal. Eternal is from everlasting to everlasting. Aeon, aeon. Yeah, I was speaking in Greek. Aeon, aeon. That means forever, from forever and ever and ever and ever. It's unending. That is how God's mercy is. It's forever. It's eternal. And that's why the psalmist tells us in Psalm 136. That's a very good one for all of us this morning. Psalm 136, there the psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercies endures for one day." Is it what he says? Eh? What does he say? Endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercies endures for 2 days. Forever. Okay. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. The 26 verses of Psalm 126, we are assured that God's mercy endures for how long? Forever. Not for 1 day or 2 days or for 1,000 years. Forever and ever. What other assurance do you want when the Bible tells us here that God's mercy endures forever and ever? Forever and ever. That's how long God's mercy endures. So, my brother, my sister, you have an unending mercy from God. An unending mercy that doesn't end. So, despite the fact that you and I continue to wallow in sin, but God is still assuring us this morning that he wants us to come back to him. And when we come back to him, he will not forsake us. So we need to believe in his mercy. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 52, verse 8, "I will trust in his mercy forever." How long are you going to trust in God's mercy? Forever. Not 1 day or two. You're going to trust in his mercy forever. He also, God tells us that entreats sinners to come to lay hold of his mercy. In Revelation 22:17, "Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life." How? Freely. You take the water of life freely. I take the water of life freely. So God, who is compassionate, wants you and I to come and take the water of life freely. When we take it freely, it means that God has satisfied us. Remember the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. When she came to draw water and Jesus asked her to give him water, she was wondering, how can this Jew tell me, a Samaritan, to give him water? And the woman was surprised. But Jesus assured her, "If you will give me that water, I will give you a water that you will not thirst again." The woman was laughing in her mind. This Jew, does he know what he's talking about? My fathers, grandfathers, they dug this well, and it's a deep well. And you say they're going to give me water from this well, and that I will not come back here anymore. Are you serious? But Jesus assured her, "The water I'm going to give you is an everlasting water." Jesus is still in the business of giving everlasting water to whosoever wants that water today. The woman received salvation that day and became an evangelist. She ran home. "Come and see, come and see the person who have told me all that I have seen, or all I have done in my life. Because Jesus told her, you've had 5 husbands. The 6th one you are living with is not your husband. How did this Jew know about me? So Jesus knows your mind. He knows my mind. You cannot hide anything from him. You cannot. So that's why you need to confess your sins before him. You need to confess your sins before him. The Samaritan woman did it, and she received mercy. If you do it too, you're going to receive mercy, because our God is a merciful God. And he delights in when his children will come to him in repentance. And that's what we're told. God is happy when sinners come to repentance. God is happy when sinners come to repentance. Many of us know the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son went to his father and asked for his own part of the father's blessings. And his father gave him his part. And he went out of the father's household and squandered his own possessions with women, with harlots. But the Bible tells us, at the right time, he came to his senses. He said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will ask my father, please forgive me. And he did it. But do you know one of the shameful things that happened to him? When a pig we eat, whatever leftover food the pig ate, that's what he was eating. And that would be a good food, right? Would that be a good food? The leftover from a pig. Oh, you know how neat pigs are. So after eating, the leftover is what this young man was eating. But it was then that it turned on him. I will go back to my father and I will ask for mercy. And he left and started coming home. And his father saw him afar, saw him far away, and said, oh, this is my lost and found son. And he ran and embraced him and called a party and told the people, this my son was lost. Now he is found. Many of us have been lost for years. But Jesus is beckoning on us today to come back to him. And when you come back to him, he will abundantly pardon you. He will abundantly pardon you. He will not forsake you anymore. So Jesus is still in that business of rescuing people who are perishing. Hallelujah. That God is merciful will not cause us to continue in our sins. That God is merciful, that will not cause us to continue in our sins. So, my brother, my sister, don't, because God is merciful, he said, let me continue in my sins. God will pardon me. And Paul, talking about it, he said, may it never be that I will continue in my sin because God's grace will abound. No. May it never be that I will continue in my sin so that God's grace may abound. God forbid. So come back to him and he will forgive. He will pardon. He will forgive you. He forgave me, like I said, 47 years ago when I committed my life to Christ. He will do that for you too. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. That's Ephesians 2:4. He's rich in mercy. He loved us. He will continue to love you. He will continue to love me. Jesus, our merciful Savior. Jesus, our merciful Savior. Jesus is our Savior. He's merciful. It was for your sake and for my sake that he went to the cross. He did not commit any sin, any crime, but he was crucified on the cross. And on the cross there he said, "It is finished. It is finished. All your sin questions are finished at the cross of Calvary. Whatever they are, how many they are, they were finished on the cross of Calvary." Jesus said, "It is finished." Your sin questions, my sin questions, the multitude of crimes we continue to commit each day, they are finished at the cross of Calvary. Only lay them at his feet. Lay them at his feet, and he will abundantly pardon. Jesus is a merciful God. And God is the Father of mercies and of all comfort. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He is the Father of all comfort. He has paid the price for you. And that's why Paul tells us in Romans 12:1, by the mercies of God, to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. By the mercies of God, present your body as a living sacrifice. When you present your body as a living sacrifice, he will abundantly pardon you. He will abundantly forgive you because it was your sin, it was my sin that sent him to the cross, and he paid that price. And he's still paying for the sins of the whole world up to today. And that's why when we read the verse that all of us know very well, even kids, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. A life that lasts forever and ever and ever and ever, continuous. That is what Jesus did. He went to the cross and died to give you everlasting life, to give me everlasting life. If only I will accept that. The death of Christ covers all the people of the world. If only they will accept their sins and come to him. But whosoever that does not accept him as a Lord, they are done for. Their sins will not be forgiven. But if the whole world could accept Christ, then their sins will be forgiven. So Jesus did it all because he's a merciful God. And then, what is God's expectations for those who have obtained mercy? What are his expectations for you and for me? One, to be upon Mount Gerizim, the mount of blessing and praising God. So you and I need to be praising God for giving us his grace, free grace. Grace, unmerited favor. He has given us unmerited favor so that we will not perish. He died. So we need to be praising him. We don't need to be on Mount Ebal, the mount of cursing and judgment. And that's why also we're told in Romans 8, verse 1, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation for them. On the other way around, those who are not in Christ Jesus, what is awaiting them? Condemnation. So when you are in Christ, there's no condemnation for you anymore. But those who are not in Christ, they are condemned. I wonder why. If you are here this morning and you have not accepted Christ, why you would choose to remain in your condemnation? Remember, Jesus has paid it all for you and for me to set you free, to set me free. He did it. You will not be an exception. You will not be an exception. He will abundantly pardon you if only you allow him to become the Lord of your life. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle? Psalm 103, verses 2 to 5. And then Psalm 66, 16 to 20. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would have not listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. This is the psalmist praying. What is your own prayer this morning? What is your own prayer? Do you want to continue in your sin? Or do you want to confess them before him? He will surely pardon you. One other expectations God wants of you is to tell others about the mercies of God. That is what we read in Psalm 66, to tell others about the mercies of God. And then C, to love God and love others. And our brother John, the beloved brother, in John's gospel, in the epistle of John, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Are you ready to share your love with others? You need to share your love with others. As you share your love with others, God will really appreciate what you are doing. And our brother Paul tells us also to be imitators of him. Be imitators of me as I imitate God. That's what brother Paul tells you. That's what I'm telling you this morning, that we need to imitate God. We need to show examples to others that God's mercy is infinite, is plenteous, is eternal. That God has forgiven you and I a lot, which we need to share with others. Don't hide the blessings you have received. Do not hide them anymore. In the past, you've been hiding them from others, from your neighbors, from your friends, from your family members, the good thing that happened in your life. But this morning, I'm reminding you that you should go and be about the Father's business. The Father's business. And also, that's why Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if any man or woman is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And he went further from 17 to 20, went further there to tell us that God has given you and I a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile the world unto himself. And he also tells us that we are Christ's ambassadors. Ambassadors of nations. They are happy to say, I'm an ambassador for the United States of America. Wherever they are, they say it proudly, I'm an ambassador. But you should be more proud than ambassadors of nations that you are an ambassador of Christ. That God has given you the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling the world unto God. That is a great job that God has given to you and I. Do not shy in doing that work that God has called you to do. Be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. That's what Paul says. So, brethren, this morning, as we are going to pray, I don't know how many of you who are ready, who have not accepted Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, this morning haven't heard the message about the abundant mercies of God, we still try to hide from him, try to hide from receiving that mercy that many of us here have received. We are going to pray. I call that everybody's eyes should be closed, heads bowed. I want to do what we have not been doing before here in the church. Haven't heard the message this morning, and you have been touched, and you want to reconcile yourself to Christ, please, would you signify by raising your hand wherever you are? I'm going to pray for you. Do not be ashamed of anybody. Do not be ashamed of anybody. Okay, let us pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you. I want to glorify your name, for your word has gone out teaching us about your mercies that endures forever. Be glorified, O Lord, in the lives of each and every one of us here this morning, that we have learned about your mercies. Help us to shine as light to those in darkness, to our neighbors, to our family members, to our places of work. Father, help us to be good ambassadors of you, wherever we find ourselves. Be exalted, Lord. Bless each and every one of us as we go home, that your light will continue to shine in our lives, starting from today until eternity. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen.